You know, I've made up my mind to preach wherever I find myself. You know, Jesus Christ preached to one woman by the well. You know, some pastors, they can't do that. If it's one person, they don't have the passion to do that. Praise God. But I want us to understand that we, as we do this work, there's the host of heaven around us.
Amen.
Fratello, capisci inglese?
No problem.
Okay. There's a heavenly host before us, a congregation. Praise God. People are listening. See, Paul adverted the church that we should mind the way our conversation, because we are in heavenly places. The sister normally speaks about the cloud here, meaning as we gather, there are many other people gathering to receive from us.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You know, when Jesus was preaching during the days of his ministry, there's something that happened, particularly after his resurrection. The Bible says many, many saints arose with Jesus. Do you know Jesus was not the only person to ascend? You know, when he died and resurrected, you know, many of the old saints and prophets and people who had died rose with him. Read your Bible properly.
Yeah, that's true.
They rose with him and they appeared.
That's true.
Now, what gave them the audacity to wake up and appear with him? You think it just happens like that? It's because they were hearing. They received from the ministry of Jesus. Praise God. And the book of Isaiah 58 says that you shall become builders of the bridge of many generations. Not just this generation. Many generations. You can affect many generations to come and generations past by what you speak. So the ministry that you have is a very important ministry. It's a very solid ministry. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I see a brother on YouTube today, Goddard Nevilles, and with the followership he has, this is someone that died in the 60s. The followership he has today is more than when he was alive. Everybody quotes the scriptures of Paul. Do you know Paul? He wrote that he was somebody but nobody. That means these were people who, they didn't pull crowd like people think. But today, in his passing away, he has touched more lives than when he was here. So this thing that you do go on to eternity, deeper, further than whatever you think. So these messages go to places, these videos you see, go to places that you don't expect. Some villages in India, some small counties in America, some places in Africa, and we see emails. Some of these emails I forward to Sister Gladys to see. People that come across these things, that so the word, the angel carries the word. So never be discouraged. Praise God.
Amen.
Stand before your Lord, before your God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Now today I want to speak about mind how your confession. Mind your confession. Mind your confession. Your confession is what will determine the outcome of your life upon this earth. I just want you to understand that God is not a reactionary God. God just, in the realms of God, when you say you want this, or you do this, or you do that, it is so for you. Praise God. It's very important we understand our confession determines how far and what happens to us in life. So we have to understand what we say. We have to understand the importance, the weight in the words that we speak as men, because it can determine your future. It can determine your present life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Right from the days of Adam, it was what Adam spoke Abraham made a confession. And that confession changed his whole life from that moment. Adam fell into condemnation because of his negative confession. Adam said, I am naked. I am
naked.
I am poor. I am a sinner. I'm a bad person. Nobody loves me. I'm a miserable man. I'm the man of the dust. I am black, I am white. I was born so and so day. I have a beginning. Adam's confession now brought about the curse upon his life. The first question God will ask him, who told you you are naked? You can see Adam lied. When you talk of in the spiritual realm, you talk about lies. Lies is not just the petty lies we speak as men. We are not encouraged to lie to one another, but there's a higher level of lie in the spirit. Praise God. When the Bible speaks about the spirit of truth will come, it doesn't come here just to teach you of elementary truths. No. It comes to speak to you about the truth of your essence, the truth about your being. The spirit of truth will speak what is in the heart of the Father. And every man today has deviated from this basic truth. That is why man suffers today. Praise God. Jesus Christ says in the book of Hebrews, that in the book of Matthew, he says that every idle word that a man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words shall thou be justified, and by thy words shall thou be your words, your confession. Is what either justifies you or keeps you in the realm of condemnation. Idle words are not just speaking about those idle words of men, corrupt words like Paul says. Hallelujah. That is why he has given the spirit today to bring man back to his senses so that man begins to speak the truth once more. The spirit of truth. Apparently in that same chapter, which is chapter 12, Jesus Christ spoke some verses earlier on that he that is not against me, he that is not with me is what against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner and sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men, praise God. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, that is against Jesus, or as a man speaks against Jesus, what he says, he shall be forgiven him, but whosoever shall speak against the Holy Ghost, or the spirit of truth, he shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, praise God, nor in the world to come, or in the ages to come. And these are very, very important statements. There's no kind of offense, no kind of thing you can do that cannot be forgiven you as a man. But when a man goes contrary to the Holy Ghost, which is the spirit of truth, it can never be forgiven him. And what does the spirit of truth do? The spirit of truth is given to you so that you can see things from God's perspective, so you can speak according to the mind of God. Jesus Christ said, the spirit will testify of me. He will bring remembrance to you. He will revive you by bringing remembrance to you. He He speaks within you like a torchlight is revealing or speaking the truth about your essence, about yourself, the way God sees you. And when a man speaks contrary to what the Spirit of God is revealing to him, he transgresses against the Spirit and he falls into the realm of death. When Adam says, "I am naked," that is the lie of the devil. That is not according to the Spirit of God. That is not according to the Spirit of truth. So God now says, "Well, you said that you are naked, and definitely the consequence that you die as a man." It's not as if God is coming to do anything or change anything in your life, but our confession is what either sets us free or what destroys us. Hallelujah. Let us get to understand this basic principle. Turn to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 19. I'm going to read verse 5 and verse 9. Proverbs 19, verse 5 and verse 9. Are we there? Proverbs. Is it after the Psalms? The book of Proverbs, you know, it looks like a book for moralism, is it? A book of morals. But it's actually a spirit-inspired book. The book of Proverbs is inspired by the Spirit of God. It's not just for natural understanding, but for spiritual understanding. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 5, "A false witness shall not go unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape." Who is the witness? The false witness is the one who confesses falsehood. See, he shall perish, and he shall not escape. What are you escaping? What are we escaping? It's the realm of death, realm of hell. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God so loved the world, he has given his only begotten Son, that the world does not perish but have eternal life. All men in their ignorance were perishing already. Why are you perishing? Because we've all put on the lie. We've all spoken, walked in falsehood, and we bore falsehood. We spoke lies as men. When you walk contrary to the truth, you are already a false witness. And Jesus Christ came to the scene and says that he is a witness. He testifies of what? From the beginning. He comes to reveal himself as the true witness. His only job was to act as a witness so that all men will see the truth and be saved. So as long as a man confesses falsehood, he remains in the prison house. It's a kind of spiritual cage where he's bound to, you know, the forces of hell and death. He's bound to corruptibility. This is the prison house that Jesus Christ says it comes to. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to loosen the prison doors and to set free the prisoners. Praise God. The day of the Lord's favor. Hallelujah. Anybody that has a sin consciousness is already a prisoner of sin. But the truth shall come to set you free. As the truth comes, you confess the truth. You speak the truth. Hallelujah. You lay on a hold on it boldly and confess it by coming faithful witnesses. Hallelujah. Of our Lord. Now go down to verse 9. "A false witness shall not what?
Be unpunished.
He that speaketh lies shall
perish."
Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Go down to 18. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Death and life is in the power of the and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Praise God. God is revealing to us today how you can live once more and not die. Praise God. What does it mean not to die? Because when people hear these things, they get to not understand. What does it mean not to die? It means to be awake consciously to the life of God. Because when you are awake conscious to the life of God, no matter what this outer body happens to this outer body, you remain alive. Jesus Christ says, as he lives,
I live.
And he says, as you live,
I live.
As I live, you live. You see, it's because these are the people who have awoken to Christ consciousness. They live and they abide forever. They never die. They remain there. In that state and in that consciousness. In that realm, death is no more. Praise God. Now these are the things that the gospel is bringing to light for every man today. To partake of the very, very eternal life of God. Praise God.
Amen.
And the only way a man can rediscover himself back in life is to change his way of confession. Your confession, your mindset is all the same thing. One has to completely turn around from the way he has walked in ignorance and now begin to confess the Christ. Because everything that the Christ is the way you are. It is actually, Christ is the pattern son that God revealed for every man to see. This is my son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. He wants you to see him so that as you see him, you are conformed to that image. Praise God. This is what the whole gospel is all about. Don't expect a kind of maybe one day you put on wings and start flying. See, a balance to miracles. Jesus Christ said it. An adorful generation, they look for signs. That's all they look for. And I tell you, the signs don't change men. Do they? Hallelujah. Praise God. So we change the way we think, the way we confess. Look at Jesus Christ. He says, I am from above, you are from
below.
It means that I now begin to walk as somebody that is from above. Because that I that Jesus Christ spoke with represents your true identity. I am from above. You are from beneath. Represents the true identity of every man before the fall. And he wants you to see that example, see that model, and walk according to that model. Paul says that let your treasures, let your hope, let your desires be where? In heavenly places. Walk in heavenly places. Speak in heavenly places. Because that is where your true self dwells. Jesus Christ said, before Abraham was, I am. If you recognize that statement, you begin to walk in that reality. You change your confession. Because as long as we think ourselves to be just mere mortals born of woman or born of a woman, with an origin in this earth, we will still be sin conscious. We will still be under the law. We will still be under the beggarly elements of this age. So now we begin to change our mindset and confess the Christ. Jesus Christ says that whosoever shall confess me before men shall I confess but before my Father who is in heaven. What does it mean by that? It's telling you your way, your access back to the Father is through your confession. How you confess, how you walk in this reality. That is how you can find access back to the Father. It says in that day, many shall, please. In that day, it says that many shall come and knock on that door. And he shall say what? I do not know you. But he says, but I have preached in your name. I have planted churches. I have done many things in your name. Why do you say you don't know me? He says, I don't know you. That is the one who has not recognized himself as that Christ. He is the one who has not confessed Christ. He has not exercised himself in this mystery. And he wants to get to heaven. He cannot get to heaven. He says, if you confess me, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. It's time to tell you of your access back into God. No one comes to the Father except by me. It's only the me, the I, which is the Christ in you, that gets back to the Father. So we change our confession totally. It's a radical change. This is what the Bible calls repentance. Metanoia, a radical change, a complete turnaround. Where now you begin to let go of the everything that is earthly, to lay hold on that which is celestial. Because you are celestial beings. Praise God. And walking in this reality, confessing this reality, is what opens the doorway to heaven. Praise God. Listen to the words of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Listen to what the Spirit is saying. Because from this word sound hard or whatever, if you want to find heaven, you must find God. You must find the Christ in you. It's the doorway to God. Amen. You can be here on the earth and experiencing heaven. Jesus Christ says, no one has been to heaven except the Son of Man who is in. He says that he has raised you up to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's something that you can experience now. In Christ Jesus, in that consciousness. And we do that by our confession. Praise God. It delivers us from certain hurts. Hallelujah. Family problems, emotional pains. As we walk this earth, we can overcome many things when we confess Christ as our life. We begin to let go gradually of this element of the earth. See, any spirit that does not confess Christ is come in the flesh. It's the devil at work. That was the work that caused Adam to lose his place in paradise. Adam lost all track of that reality of the Christ in him. That is the work of the Antichrist. John says that he is already present in the world. It's not something that will come tomorrow. It's a spirit that works in the systems of men, religion, deceiving men day and night about what Christ is. Any spirit that does not confess, that does not have this confession of this Christ within himself, is the spirit of the Antichrist. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And when you begin to preach these things, watch how they will arise against you. Watch how they will arise against you, Bible scholars. Watch how they will fight you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. The same scribes and Pharisees that took stones to stone Jesus. Jesus told them, is it not written in your law that you are gods? All of you here are gods. Is it not written? And they said, blasphemy. He makes himself equal with God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God comes down as a man, not in any kind of fanciful form, glorious form. He comes in a very lowly form as an ordinary man, in a weak vessel. Praise God. If Jesus Christ was so special, probably his brothers and sisters would have recognized him. Praise God. You see, but the mindset of this age, the spirit of this age, cannot comprehend the fact that this is the Son of God. What we see today is the congregation of the Almighty. He didn't come to make anything like a religion or a church upon the earth, all these things. No! The church of God has been from the beginning. The church of God is the oldest institution. It is not a man-made structure. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you see what it says. When we deny Christ, which is what Paul says, the Christ in you. Now, in you. Is there a hope outside of you? God is waiting for you to recognize the Christ in you. This is the greatest secret of all ages. Search out this mystery with all your heart, with all your soul, and you will find it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Your recognition of this mystery is what opens the door to a new heavens and a new earth. Because as I recognize this Christ in me, I also recognize Christ in the brethren. It becomes, makes me calm down. It makes me more and more tolerant. It makes us to grow in love. Then glory begins to disappear. Because we are all one spirit in the Lord. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
These are spiritual truths that cannot be understood by the natural mind. Praise God. Who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I am? Somebody say, but you are the son of you are Trevor now, son of General Gaga. I have old friends that we went out to drink and to have party pubs at night, you know, years ago. And when they see me, it's still, you know, hey, oh boy, Trevor now. But God has taken me out of that. He says, in that day, two people will be sleeping on the bed. One will be taken away, the other one will be there. He has taken me away from that realm because he has shined the light in my heart to reveal the Christ in me. Praise God. So the ordinary man will say, well, you are just here, Trevor. You are a pastor. You are this, you are that. So, Sunray ministry. And before Sunray ministry, I've been before Sunday ministry. I've been before this world was. Who the man said I am? I am Son of God. And Jesus Christ from heaven thunders and says, flesh and blood. No man can. Flesh and blood is the reason of man, is the natural man. The mind of man cannot understand this mystery. He cannot understand it. No matter how you try, hit him on the head, he will not understand it. He said, my Father has revealed this to you. This is the work of God to remind you that you are his dearly beloved son. He's trying to revive you. Get out of the realm of condemnation, sin consciousness, fear. You are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Get back into this reality. This is what the Father is revealing to every man today. He's speaking to us day and night, day and night, day and night. And at times we find it hard to believe as men. Praise God. And Jesus Christ adds, this revelation that you have is what is going to open the door for you. He's going to open the prison house. Hallelujah. I will give you the keys with which you will unlock the gates of hell and death. Anything you bind on earth Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And he says, upon this principle will I build my church. You see, the church is built on this principle, on this revelation. It's not by our calculation or what, you know, we think we can form a church. We can't form a church as a man. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's only as we allow ourselves with the Spirit, listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church, as we are hearing these things, that we are, every man is elevated back to his place in God. It's not by your works, not by your acts. It's just a waste of time. Doesn't mean you just sit down there and look, you do good and you love and all that kind of stuff. But let the Spirit, let the ministration of the Spirit go forth to awaken us to that one body that has been in the heavens, which we call the Church of God, the Church of the Firstborn. This is the mystery of the fellowship that has been before this world was. Hallelujah. There is a mystery of the fellowship in Christ before this world was, by whom God created all things, and by whom God maintains all things. You know what Paul says? He says this was his mission, this was his mandate, to preach this mystery. The fellowship of the saints, look at it here. The fellowship of the saints in light, in church, in the heavenly body, in Christ. A celestial body. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. And you are in that body.
Amen.
Praise God. It's more than, you know the kind of things that we hear. It's deeper than that. Hallelujah. We have to really, really get to listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church in this hour. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Turn quickly to the book of Romans. Are we there? Romans chapter 10. Are you there? Romans chapter 10 verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every man that believeth. Praise God. Do you know many people are still under the law? Many people are still in bondage to the laws, but they don't know. Praise God. The law has crept into the church. When I say the church, I'm talking of the systems of men. The law has what crept into the
system.
Yes.
And people unknowingly are actually under the law. But Christ is the end of the law. Now, this is why Jesus had conflict with the scribes and the Pharisees, because they were disciples of Moses. You know those men with long beards? You were in Israel before. So you know how religious they are. Yes, very religious people with their whatever, all those their, and their little books in their hands and their caps and all that. Praise God. And you know how they were offended by Jesus. But they keep forgetting that Moses had told them that God is going to raise up somebody who's like them. That is the one they should listen to. They should not listen to Moses, but they should listen to this servant that God is going to raise up in the future. And then, are you greater than Moses, the servant of God? Jesus spoke things that look contrary to what Moses was saying. But he said, Moses was testifying of me. Moses was testifying of the Christ in you. You are the one that is coming in the volume of the books. Everybody here, individually and corporately, the Bible is a story of you.
Yes, so.
Everything the Bible is speaking about is the Christ in you.
Amen.
But people are reading letters, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. Thou shalt pay this tithe. Thou shalt carry this cow to the church. Thou shalt do this. Thou shalt do that. God will bless you and God will curse you and this will that, you know. And this was the things that they were looking at. And these things have crept into the church. But they forgot that actually Moses was testifying of the Christ. Moses did not know too. These are some great mysteries. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So Jesus Christ comes on the scene and offends many people. But we must understand that Christ is the end of the law. The law is like a school teacher to bring us into Christ. And when you are in a school, you are still a bambino. When you are in a school, you are still a baby. And the reality of it is that when you are in a school, those things you learn in the school, when you come out into the real world, you don't go to the board and do anything anymore.
Disappear.
Yes. Hallelujah. But of course they have led you
into the
real thing.
Majority.
Into the real thing. Many of us are still in school.
Yes.
Reciting laws. You know what the Bible says. The Bible says this, the Bible says that, the Bible says this, the Bible says don't do this, the Bible says don't do that. And they are still there fighting and condemning one another. And look at what the Bible says. Look at what the Bible says. But Christ is the end of the law. Hallelujah. Go on. I'm going to go on. What are Romans? Verse 5.
Yes.
For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that a man which does these things shall live by them. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Now listen to me. You know the law? If you want to follow the law, that means you must obey every single thing in the law. You know that? You don't have to choose one part and leave the other part. If the Bible says you should bring cow, you must bring cow. That means there must be cow. Everybody must bring his cow to the church today. And make sure the cow doesn't have a blemish. Otherwise, you go back to the butcher and get a cleaner cow. Not just the money, not just only the one tenth of the money, the cow, everything, the yield in your farm. Amen. Your house rent, I hope, bring everything here. Amen.
Amen.
The sheep and the cows and everything. Amen. And we keep it in my house, my backyard. I have a big compound. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. But when you come to Christ, you begin to know that you give yourself as a living
sacrifice.
And that one ends the matter. Everything that I have is God's. And everything that is God is mine.
Amen.
This was what God was demonstrating in the books of in the book of Acts of Apostles. When the apostles and the disciples left everything and gave everything to God. It means that when we come to Christ, we have to learn to live by the commonwealth of God's kingdom.
Amen.
Meaning that in reality, everything that I have is yours. We are actually one. We are not yet understood this mystery at times. We are still holding back. We have to come into the realm, flow into the realm where everything I have is yours. Because we are not citizens of this world. We might be in this world, but we are not of this world. Praise God. Let's move on fast because of time. Verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith, speak it this way, on this wise. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above.
Yeah.
Or who is to descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith. Oh, praise God. Which we preach, that if thou shalt confess thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believing and heard that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This is the last. With the mouth confession is made unto your confession. And what are you confessing? You are confessing the Christ. Hallelujah. You are confessing the Christ. That is what opens the door into God's heavens. Hallelujah. Your confession of the Christ, first of all, by recognizing and believing. And you now do that, you begin to confess the Christ in you. You don't have to go to the street to shout, I am Christ, I am the Son of God. You know what they will do to you anyway? Hallelujah. You'll be the laughing stock of town. Praise God. You don't need to do that. It's all here in the mind. As you confess the Christ, things begin to fall off. The bad things in the life, all the things of the flesh begin to dissolve. Hallelujah. There's a newness. Something begins to emerge in you that has always been there anyway. The nature of God is seen by all men. Praise God. Confess in Christ. Your confession. People are still waiting to bring Jesus from the sky. You know, it is very sad that these things are in the Bible. People are still waiting for Jesus to come physically from the sky and something will happen to their lives. Hey man, that thing is so hot. What happened? Did you put it on 26? Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
People are still waiting to bring Jesus from the deep. This is the deceit of the devil. This is what is deceiving you. Waiting for something to happen. Books have been written on biblical prophets, men of God, people who have gone to Bible school, they all preach these things. But it's written here. Don't wait for anything to happen. Recognize the Christ in you and confess it.
Amen.
This is what will open the gateway. Hallelujah. Now, when you preach these things, some people don't like you. Some people don't like you. Hallelujah. I preached this thing in London some time back, and an elder who had written books was very furious after. But these things are in the Bible. The Christ in you, your recognition of this mystery and your confession of this mystery opens the door to heaven. That is your salvation. Don't look out for changes. Don't look out for something in the sky. Believe the word is in your mouth today. If you can recognize this power in you, your passageway in Italy can be very smooth.
Hallelujah.
Things can turn around from you. Life can become easier. You can be more bold to command things into existence. You can now bold to have the faith to move mountains and to get whatever you want, because you have recognized that you are Him. and you confess this reality. But if you say, no, I am not that, what God says I am, God is not going to do anything. You will just simply die away. That's all. Is God doing anything to you?
No.
He says, by your own, the words of your own mouth, just, and by your own words you shall be. So if you like to confess yourself to be other than what God says you are, you will die off as a man. That's all. If you confess what God says you are, or what God is testifying that you are, the sky is the limit. You can reign in life. So pray, let us change our confession.
Amen.
Not just in preaching, but also in the mind. Let it take a hold on every fiber of our being. Every single cell in our body has to confess the Christ. Recognize your existence from eternity. Recognize your incorruptibility, immortality. Recognize your spirit nature, because your Father is spirit. Put on the nature of your Father. Let's stand up.
Hallelujah.
Change your confession. Your tongue, the way you speak, it opens the door to the new heavens and the new earth. Change your mindset. Begin to walk as a celestial being. You are from above. Hallelujah. When the truth has been revealed, you will know that you are actually the Father himself revealing himself in this weak form. Hallelujah. Immortality. But your comfort is in recognizing this mystery. It will open the doors for you.
Amen.
Into greater heights. And nothing can touch you. No devil can touch you. Nothing evil can touch you. Because you are dwelling in the secret of God. You are dwelling in him and him in you. And nothing can touch you. You shall tread upon the head of the serpents. Hallelujah. And they shall not touch you. Because you have known the truth. The truth makes you free. It sets you free. It sets you from the captivity of hell and death. It causes you to escape the horrors of life in the flesh. It causes you to escape the realm of death. Hallelujah. Thank you, God.